Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
It's a hard Knicks life. It is a hard Knicks life. A hard Knicks life. Oh, it's a hard Knicks life. It's a hard Knicks life. It is a hard Knicks life. A hard Knicks life. Oh, it's a hard Knicks life.
What is Barry eating? Ice? Or one of those cherries?
Yep, cherry boy.
But you don't need to open your mouth to show us your chewed up cherry, Barry.
I didn't need to do that.
What up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
You know it's dangerous to chew stuff when you're doing the show. I learned that a few weeks ago with the candy corn, watching it back.
Why? What happened? Painful. What happened?
I just couldn't stop. I mean, I thought it looked terrible chewing candy corn the whole show. Oh. You picked up on that?
No.
And
to the 20 people watching on YouTube?
Yeah, those people. And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderstein Hooper. I was also making the chewing sounds on the podcast, though. Terrible.
It's fine.
That's all right.
Doesn't bother me.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
Give us the number, Barry. Where can they call us?
They could call us at 516-33-MESH-1. That's 516-336-3741. Let us hear your voices out there. You hear ours all the time. Yeah.
It's not just for Ralph. It's not just for murderers named Jim. Right. Right. It's not just for guys with asshole dogs. You can be on it too. And please subscribe to the one podcast that is fiercely loyal to shit stories. Barry, what else are we fiercely loyal to?
Our barbers.
You're fiercely loyal to your barber?
I don't know. I just watched the Seinfeld episode, and it was the one with the barber, so that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Just in your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, speaking of fiercely loyal, Ian Begley reported today that Leon Rose is fiercely loyal to Tom Thibodeau. Let's hear from Ian Begley.
Ian Begley?
Of course. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
Ian. Yeah, in some water.
Leon Rose is fiercely loyal to head coach Tom Thibodeau, and I don't think that he would take lightly the decision to make a coaching change with Tom Thibodeau as his head coach. So that's just something worth noting. But obviously, Knicks winning Sunday night, you can turn the temperature down a bit on Tom Thibodeau's seat, and we'll see if they can right the ship here going into Wednesday's home game against the Atlanta Hawks.
Coach Tibbs, we got Coach Tibbs right here. Tibbs, how are you feeling?
you know, listening to that, fiercely loyal. Fierce. That's what they said about my high school prom outfit. But, you know, I always say the game will tell you what to do. Unless, you know, in my case, you know, when it comes to me, Leon Rose tells me what to do. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, and I'd love to sit here and say that it was me that decided to play more Obi and Randall this season, or that it was me who decided to start Cam Reddish, or me who decided to sub Evan Fournier, or me who decided to rotate three centers, although that last one, that actually was me.
You decided to start Cam Reddish, bench Cam Reddish, start Evan Fournier, bench Evan Fournier.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm here to tell you that as fiercely loyal as Leon is to me, I am to him. Mm. And that came straight from his mouth.
Is there anything you would not do to or for Leon?
Oh.
You know, loyalty is a big part of this game, and it comes along with this seat. There is nothing that I wouldn't do for Lero.
Lero. That's what you call each other. He loves facials. Who does? Tom Thibodeau or Lero?
I think Lero.
Wow. Guys. All right, we'll get...
You know, I call him Lero. He calls me Titty.
Titty.
He used to call me TT, and it's an inside joke now. He calls me Titty.
Oh, it's gotten interesting.
Okay.
TT. Double T.
Just titty. Chris.
Just titty. Okay. Basketball's back, and we're going to get into this. We've got a lot more to come from Coach Tibbs. By the way, when you were writing your ideas down, what you were writing down was that your prom outfit was fierce? Or that just came to your head?
Yes. Is that what came to my head, correct? Yes. I wish I could say there was a correlation.
What was that outfit?
To Tom Thibodeau. It was ruffles and a yellow bow tie with a neon pink jacket.
Wow.
And pants.
Make Clyde proud.
And a mohawk. Mohawk mullet combo.
Mohawk.
Fierce.
All right. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always get the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all your sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. It's never going to be as good as it was that first time, Jay.
That was pretty good, though. I thought that was good.
Head to betonline.ag to get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV to get your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Yes.
Let's hear from Ralph. Quick Ralph. Quickie from Ralph this week.
Okay.
Short and simple.
Next win! Woo! We showed effort tonight, and Robinson was awesome.
That's it? That's all we got from Ralph?
That's all we got from Ralph.
That's from after the Cavs game?
Yeah, which, you know, was interesting that Robinson was really awesome after three games ago.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah, he didn't jump off the page against Cleveland. Nobody did.
All right, guys. Hot and cold weekend this weekend, I guess. Back-to-back games against Dallas and Cleveland. First, we had a game against the team whose starting point guard we signed away from them, Jalen Brunson. That's Dallas. Then the following day, the team that stole Donovan Mitchell right away from Leon Rose and all of us. Both games we went up big in the first half. One we lost, one we won. One Barry got to sit courtside at on Sunday with a special guest. Boring guest, but his guest nonetheless. His wife.
What do you mean boring?
We got to see Barry was sending us photos before the game and is showing off his spot, which, I don't know, Jay, I didn't need to see all that. You need to see all that?
I wanted to share with somebody. That's like basically like a dream come true for me to sit where I sat.
Oh, yeah.
It's also a dream come true for us, too.
Yeah, yeah, and I wanted to share the experience with you guys. I'm trying to FaceTime you guys. You're taking a shit, Blanderson, so you won't pick up the FaceTime.
Well,
Craig's out of Target with his fucking kids to get out of the house for a few minutes. He won't answer my FaceTime.
I'm like, why is Barry FaceTiming me? To be like, look at me. Look at me.
It wasn't like that.
Look at what I have that you don't have.
Come on,
look at
you guys.
I have something you don't have. Let me show you.
I'm trying to convince tell my kids that they're not going to buy 10 toys at Target, and I'm going nuts, and here Barry is just sitting courtside right before the game, 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday.
Right, next to Michael J. Fox and John Stewart.
Him and his wife in their matching sweaters. Just looks like you both got haircuts right before the game. Looking your best. You got to look your best on Celebrity Row, right?
Of course.
I know what's going to happen.
Weren't you just wearing a hoodie?
It was a sweater hoodie though.
Sweater
over a
button down
dress shirt.
Yeah. It was nice. It's nice. Barry, how was it? Dream come true.
Awesome. Awesome. I mean, you feel like you're on the court with them. I mean, you get to see a lot of like the players' interactions like up close. So like Obi was awesome. There was this like, you know, young kid with an Obi jersey and a hat. And he's like, Obi, you know, Obi comes over, signs the thing. And then like a couple minutes later, he's in the layup line. He like makes eye contact with the dad. And he's like, because the dad like now's like, thank you. He's like, I got you, you know. So he was awesome. Cam Reddish, Jericho Sims, all of them, you know, signed autographs for the guys, for all the kids over there. Yeah, it was an amazing night. Saw a lot of famous people and, you know, got blown off by Mike Breen, you know, slightly, you know.
Well, you know.
I saw him before the game. You know, went up to him, said, hey, what's up, you know, Barry, you know, from wherever. And
yeah, still waiting. And still, like, hey, still got you doing? That free service for your bike.
Made a beeline. Yeah, didn't bring up the bike. No, I think he fucking got coffee on his tie. He was in a rush trying to clean it off before the game.
We thought you were going to regret going to that game, but the Knicks won, right?
Knicks won. I mean, it was not an exciting game, that's for sure.
Defensive
game. But the Knicks came out with a win, which weren't expected to happen. The
Knicks were a mind-blowing 5 of 29 from 3.
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. Cavs were 8 for 35.
Mind-blowing.
Great to see Mitchell shoot 8 for 22 in the game, right? One of the biggest things in that game, or lately, that we're seeing is that I guess in that game, Tom Thibodeau really had a 9-man rotation, and Derrick Rose was out of it, reportedly because it was the second game of a back-to-back. Are you buying that, Barry? You buying that, Blandy?
Potentially.
I don't see why not. I mean, but then what's the explanation for Cam Reddish being out of the rotation for that game?
I mean, Cam Reddish
fucking
was
ass the game before.
Horrible the game before. I played this clip on Twitter where I think it was like the third or fourth possession in a row where Reddish was just terrible, and he lost the ball driving into lane, and Tibbs screamed RJ the second it came out of his hands, and RJ popped off the bench. He played horrible that game
of Cam Reddish.
That was the last time we'll ever see Cam Reddish.
So we're not high on him anymore. That's it.
I wouldn't have benched him even
Tibbs
with that.
There,
even that pitiful performance, I would not have benched the guy. I mean, again, he's looked so good for them, and he has been really good for them. And there's other guys that have been playing worse that are getting, you know, a lot more minutes. So,
seeing Miles McBride is like the first guy off the. It's like, what the hell was that? I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't need to see him in there either. I mean, you could have just ran. You could have sat Brunson, played quickly at the point, and then you still could have kept a tight rotation, but have Cam instead of McBride. There's ways to run the lineup that way.
That's one of the things I think many of us don't like about Thibodeau, is that a young player like that who has a bad game and has had a lot of bright spots this season just all of a sudden doesn't play the next game?
I mean, maybe it's because his groin, maybe his groin was still bothering him, and that's what led to him not performing well the game before, and so he was rest. I don't know.
No, they would have mentioned that. They said it was a coach's decision.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, look, we'll see what happens on Wednesday night, if he's in the back in the rotation or not. If not, it's like, you know, Tibbs throws Fournier to the bench. Tibbs throws Cam Reddish to the bench. If Rose doesn't play, he's thrown Rose to the bench. And now, you know, all these guys are getting just sucked out of the rotation. Shorten that the bench that he has going in.
Right.
We'll see if that's the case, or if it was just a one-time thing. Again, second day of a back-to-back.
Now we'll see. I think they would have mentioned that. But there's a lot of guys, like if Reddish and Sims aren't playing, I mean, those are two guys I think many of us want to see play. And is Thibodeau tightening his rotation because he's feeling the heat and he's just trying to do something different? You know, before that Cavs game, I mean, people were calling him for him to be fired if they didn't win that game.
Especially after the Dallas game. I mean, the Dallas game, they were embarrassed. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't. There was nothing that he was doing that was turning out well.
Yeah, and as far as if he was instructed to do something like this, right, Thibodeau, as far as sitting who he sat or not, you got to remember, you know, trades open up December 15th, which is very close, and there's different schools of thought. You know, let's say they know, okay, look, we're going to look to fucking trade Cam Reddish. We saw what he could do, and, you know, that showcased him a little bit, but it also, he's just not in our plans. He never was. He's here. Let's see what we can get for him. The two schools of thought are, look, you either play him out until that trade, you know, window opens up December 15th and hope that he showcases a little bit more, or the opposite of that is, look, sit him because we need to get our team right. We know he's not going to be a part of the team. Why are we wasting time with rotations that aren't going to be 10 days from now? And there's that school of thought, to start sitting him because they know he's going to be get dealt. So it could be one of those things as well.
It's just crazy because this team does not have enough talent on it to be throwing a piece like that away, who's been at times has helped them get wins this year.
More times than not. Yeah. You know, again, you take the preseason out of it and you just look at this regular season. Yeah, more times than not, he has definitely helped this team on both ends of the court. No question. And he's looked hella impressive doing it.
I mean, like we've said over and over, there's guys in this team who have a leash, unlimited leash from Tom Thibodeau. Thibodeau's fiercely loyal to guys like Randall, RJ, right? Derek Rose, up until recently. Quentin Grimes is now, seems solidified in the starting lineup. He's played well at times defensively, but that much better than a Cam Reddish?
And again, maybe that's the only reason that Cam got all those minutes before. I mean, Cam was getting these minutes when Quentin Grimes couldn't get on the court with the groin injury. And, you know, even when he started to get healthy, he wasn't playing. Maybe that's the reason. It was like, well, look, you know, now's the time. I'll put Cam in to appease, whether it's to appease the front office or to appease the fans or to, you know, just showcase to the league that, look, we have somebody here that is valuable perhaps to you. Now's my chance to play him because I'm forced to, because Grimes, who I know would be in there otherwise, can't play. And now Grimes is fully healthy. He took his role back in the starting lineup. And now, sorry, Cam, you know, your window is closed. Your time is up.
And well, we're not going to have a single
you'll be
wing.
Packing your bags in a week and a half.
We're not going to have a single wing coming off the bench. I mean, listen to this bench in that 9-man rotation. Let's assume Rose comes back for McBride. Right.
Yeah.
So the bench is Toppin, Hartenstein, Quickly, and Rose.
Three out of those four, I think, could be, you know, are going to give the Knicks positive minutes.
Yeah, but
Hartenstein is questionable.
No small forward. I don't know. That just seems so thin, that bench.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, you're dealing with a short rotation, which means guys are going to be overlapped. Guys are going to shuffle between positions. It can work. It's not crazy. You know, it's not too big. I don't think it's too small. You know, you could slide Grimes over. You could, you know, slide RJ between two positions. You know, Quickly, if you're playing against a small lineup, you know, maybe able to hold his own defensively against some of the league's threes.
If you had nine players that were playing great, that were really good and tight, I would understand it, but we don't. So to just, like, take Cam Reddish out when RJ struggles three nights out of four, you know, and you could use someone to come in and give them a spark. So to just take guys like Reddish out, when no one on this team is that fucking good anyway. You know, these the nine-man rotation, it's not good. It's not good, Barry.
No.
It's definitely not great.
You can't
so
say
these are
good.
Our nine. This is who you're not good enough to be in our. We're not going to go to 10 because our nine is so good, so tight. Can't do any better. Cam Reddish is going to get ousted. To me, it's not fair for Cam, for these guys. Because the guy, well, like, yeah, Grimes is playing okay. RJ, some nice plays, okay. They're not good enough, though, to warrant Cam never getting a chance again.
Well, I mean, we don't know if that's the case.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. Cam Reddish in that Dallas game played 9 fucking minutes. So don't tell me it's the second game of back-to-back. That's why
he only played 9 minutes?
I just looked at it. Played 9 minutes.
It felt
minutes.
Like he played 30. He was so bad.
9 minutes. 0 for 4.
Those were 9 4. Awful minutes,
9
Craig.
Terrible minutes. They were probably all in the first half. Did he play in the second half?
That's the kind of performance that led Barry to, you know, a month ago say, I want him off this team.
Pretty much.
He played 2 more minutes than, I don't even know how you say his name. And we should. Svi. When Svi comes in the game, sometimes I'm watching the game on record and I put it on and it, for some reason the TV has it on. It's like the fourth. And I see Svi in there. I'm like, I know we lost. Never a good sign when Svi is in the game. Yeah, fucking 9 minutes, dude. 9 minutes. And in that game against Cleveland, the Obi played 13 minutes. Hartenstein, 14 minutes. McBride, 16. So you're talking like basically the starters just playing the entire game.
Pretty much.
Entire game. All right, guys, listen, since we're on Tibbs, let's talk. Let's play the Murder Gym voicemail, Blandy. By the way, voicemails, whenever we play them, are brought to you by BetStamp. Barrett.
That's my cue.
That's your cue.
If you're betting on the NBA or the NFL or even
golf?
No, I'm not ready trying, for that, buddy.
Oh, look at this fucking guy. Barry just hit a golf swing and smacked his microphone out of the thing. And did it unplug?
I'm sorry, dude.
Well, bet
that's
stamp.
What happens when I try something new. I fucking try to do the golf swing. I literally swung into my microphone and knocked it over.
There's the read.
What more
so go
can
to,
I say?
Oh, you don't even need to say anything. Go to BetStamp. Get the app, whatever. I don't care. It's good to use. Blandy, play Murder Jim's voicemail.
Here we go.
Hey, it's Murder Jim. What the fuck? Everybody wants to fire the coach now. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, you remember, I know you guys go way back, remember 99 when the Knicks made it to the finals? And motherfucker, if there was a Twitter back then, everybody would have been, for the entire shortened season, would have been calling for Jeff Van Gundy's head. Now he's like the treasured coach. Everybody's like, Van Gundy, I wish we had. This is the modern day Van Gundy. This is exactly how Van Gundy would be coaching, probably. But I mean, I know it was a different times then, but things just seem antiquated. And I just want to see clever shit is what works in the NBA now. It's like Jason Kidd shit. He does clever rotation changes. You know, he doesn't. And actually, I hated Ty Lue, but I watched a Clippers game the other day, and like he makes changes, man. He's on the fly changing. He's not set in any fucking ways, man. He's pivots, man, and he fucking makes adjustments. Like, you can't survive without adjustments. And I don't need a fucking secret. Not a big reveal that this motherfucker ain't making any adjustments. He doesn't seem to make any adjustments. I guess they're so subtle we don't notice. I don't know. Should we fire the coach, guys? I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, you guys are probably fucking pissed. Everybody's pissed. This sucks. Should we get one of those youthful? Who do we replace him with? I don't know, man. That fucking, it's tough, man. It's fucking tough. And I'm trying to figure it out. I don't want to be one of those fucking overreactive, fire the fucking coach. But I haven't been. I've been really fucking not on the fire the coach. I've not said that ever this year or recently. I don't know. That's all I got, man.
Well, after that Bagley quote, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's going to get what he wants. Correct? I mean, that's not going to happen for Murder Jim.
By the way, comparing Jeff Van Gundy to Tom Thibodeau is horrible. Horrible. Jeff Van Gundy's one of the greatest Knicks coaches ever. How is he similar to him? Every season, Van Gundy is coaching the Knicks like to 48 wins, 50 wins, 57 wins. He had, I just pulled up his record, like 5 straight winning seasons, including a trip to the finals, playoffs constantly, Eastern Conference champions. Come on. Ridiculous. Thibodeau has been here, what? This is his third season?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to have two losing seasons under Thibodeau. And everyone's saying we're just under 500 right now. That's not true. We're two games under.
That's not true.
If you put, do the math on this, do the math on okay. the rest of the season. We're going to be like 8 to 10 games under 500 at this but rate.
They're saying what we are right now, Craig.
Yeah.
Just under 500.
Yeah, but we're not a 500 team right now. We're way under 500.
Oh.
Okay. When you no, it's not silly.
It doesn't work like that.
If we, it does fucking work like that.
It
if
doesn't
you play,
work like that.
Do the math. Do the math.
Do the winning. Get, tell me
Blandy,
what's their winning percentage.
Blandy, what
I could,
are
I
we
could
right
play
now?
This game the other way. What's the winning percentage?
Barrett, what is it, Blandy? Pull up the standings.
Because okay, what their winning percentage is now is a percentage of wins is what's going to be at the end
yeah,
of the season.
And then. They're well under 500 if you look up their winning percentage right now.
We are 11-13, 0.458.
And what would their record be if they ended the season 0.458?
Yeah, tell us. Tell us, Blandy. Tell
that.
That's
harder math.
11-13 is 24 games, right? So
this is
48,
where, this is where
72,
Barry learns how math works. All right.
33-39 would be 72 games, another 10. So you'd have to figure at least 3 more. So you figure probably around 37-45 around there.
37-45.
Somewhere around there.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
That's how math works, Barry.
Blandy, it wasn't supposed to come out like that. It was supposed to be a little, it was supposed to be just under 500.
37
so that is.
This is where I learned how math works.
It is not just under 500. This is a terrible start to the year.
That would be a 451 winning percentage, so 37-45.
And what was our record last year?
I did that all in my head originally, by the way.
What was our
record
last year?
I saw it.
It
looked like you were taking a crap.
Yeah.
What was our record last year?
Weren't we like 34-48 or something like that?
Were we that bad?
Were we? I thought we were.
14 games.
We were pretty bad.
Much better this year then. All right. Who else do we have voicemails, Blandy, while you look that up?
Okay. Who's next? Brandon, I think, right? Yeah, Brandon. Here we go.
Ooh, with Brandon. Yo, we won. Dang. That felt good. I don't think that was a statement win of what Barry was talking about. But I got to say.
Yeah.
We were 37-45 last year.
Weird.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Great. Progress. Continue.
Here we go.
This. What the hell was up with the refs and all the travel calls? I mean, literally. It was like 30 calls. But other than that, I'm digging thick dreadlock Julius. I gotta commend him for that. Mitchell fucking Robinson, man. Dude, he locked up Mobley. He locked up Mobley. Brunson doing his thing, man. He had a couple of little drives that I saw that, I mean, Julius was open in the corner, and I get it. Going for the foul, but try to keep your eyes up. Anyways, it was a good win. Knicks win. I love it.
I mean, Julius was also 1-for-7 from 3. I don't know how appetizing that looks to Brunson, you know, as an outlet pass when he can very well, even if he doesn't have a great shot at the rim, there's a good chance he's going to get fouled and can get 2 from the line.
Blandy, who I feel bad about my bet stamp ad read now. It's like weighing on me. See if they listen. See what happens.
You mean our last best stamp ad? The last one we'll ever do?
Ever since it happened, I was like, well, that was maybe a mistake.
That's all right.
Well, answer the emails. Blandy, who else do we got here?
We got DB.
DB.
Hey, fellas, it's DB. Can somebody explain to me why
the Knicks losing to Dallas should cause them to fire Tibbs if they don't beat the Cavaliers on a random Sunday evening. I don't know. We all knew that this team is a 500 team or a little bit less than a 500 team.
Not a little
bit
less. They
are right now a little bit less than a 500
team.
Not
a little bit less.
We think they could be playing better. Okay. We have to fire everybody? We have to fucking just destroy the team? We have to blow everything up. Blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up. Every time. Every time. Blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up. Can we stop blowing it up? Can we just play basketball? Can we watch them play and cheer for them and be happy when they win and sad when they lose, but not think that they're going to change the whole fucking face of the whole organization every time they lose a game? I'm sorry. It's a hardness life.
Hey, fellas, it's DB again. Just to follow up on my last whiny call, I think it all comes down to one thing. It's just very fucking simple. They're not hitting their shots. They will hit their shots. The team's going to come around. I can tell. It's still a hard next life.
I say like game 50, it'll start to come around. Game 50, right around there. When they
That's
all start
what Barry said
together.
Last show. the whole idea behind basketball is hitting your shots. If you hit your shots, you play well.
That's not the biggest problem. I mean, they're decent. Their offensive numbers are decent. As bad as they have been from the 3-point line, their offensive numbers as a whole are good in comparison to the rest of the league. It's the defense. It's all the other things. It's tying shit together. It's the fact that think about how much better they can even be if they did hit the 3-point shots, but. You know, there's more to it than that. And, you know, unfortunately, as far as with the coach, I mean, a lot of people have been looking for reasons to fire this guy, you know, for over a year now. So, yeah, on a game like this that they do so badly, and then if they were to follow it up with another loss, yes, that's going to be enough reason for those people to say, get his ass out of here. They're waiting for times like this. None of these games are random. It's not a random Sunday afternoon game. It's a game that's just come after a pitiful loss where you showed a lack of effort for – you know, I don't know, the third time, fourth time this season that you've showed lack of effort. And at some point, people are going to point their fingers at the coach and say, enough is enough. We got to make a change. And that's the easiest change for us to make. I'm on board with them, but that's where these people are coming from.
And I think going into that game on Sunday against Cleveland, the Knicks had lost 7 of their last 8 home games or something ridiculous like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like you just said, it's not a random game that we would have lost. It's how it's gone this season. They've not been playing well. It's been embarrassing.
Two of the biggest things you point to for a coach is one, which I just said, lack of effort, and the other is how do you close out games? And before that pitiful Mavericks game, they lost a close game to the Bucks, a close game to Portland, and to what was the game in between the Portland
Memphis.
And the Bucks game and to Memphis.
Memphis.
Three close games that they had lost.
All the teams better than them, though.
Yes, but again, I mean, three games in a row that you're in it, you know, to the last minute of the game, you know, pull out one of those.
I do understand.
And then don't get blown out the game after.
Yeah, I do understand.
You should
the
be
fans.
Able to at least pull out once.
Oh yeah, pull out once.
Didn't. It's a joke. He's got four kids.
Weird. Do I have to cut that out?
I thought it was funny. Come on.
I do understand when people say, like, what are we going to just keep blowing up and blowing up and blowing up? But what are we to do? We're just going to stay with what we have just for the sake of not blowing it up again? Unfortunately, we keep hiring the wrong people. Were we wrong to blow it up when Hornacek was coaching the team, when Fizdale was coaching the team? Should we just have stuck with them? Should we have stuck with Fizdale?
No, God, no.
So what do? You can't just stay in it.
Yeah, but
devastating. It would be devastating if we have to remove the front office. But what have they done? What have they done? It's been I tweeted this out. It's been, I think now it's like 1,008 days since we hired Leon Rose.
Okay.
So how much better is this team since he started? What pieces do we have key pieces have we acquired since he started that are part of the future of this team, that are either going to be a part of the future of this team or going to help us contend for something? What key pieces have we gotten in over 1,000 days? He didn't get RJ. And he's not even that good. We had the third pick. There was no one else to pick there.
RJ fell into his lap.
Okay, who do we... He didn't draft Mitch. Who has he gotten for us?
Quickly.
He's gotten... He's got... Look, everybody that Quickly, he's drafted, Grimes. None of them have been busts. Now, what you hope is that you find, you know, a diamond in the rough or somebody that, Nobody. You know, you picked low and that they didn't get... But they didn't get any busts either. Where a lot of guys have busted in this league. You can't put that in this front office. They, again... Nobody that excelled
that's
and shined.
The, that's
this and that.
The positive that we don't have any busts.
I'm just saying it could be worse. Uh-huh. It could be worse, Craig.
We're talking about trading quickly. What's a bust? Guys,
a bust
we don't even
is
want
somebody...
on this team. We have guys nobody even wants. You know what a bust is? Someone who's not an asset. Do we have players that can get us anything?
I think quickly has value. Yes.
You think he might
Grimes
be able to get us
value.
A first round
pick? I think
you
Obi
think quickly
has value.
Might be able to get us what we used to get him a 20 top 20 draft pick, top 25.
He could
draft
be part of that one for one. No, he's probably not going to get you that. Not one for one. But if you put him with something, then you know maybe you do get a player and a pick. You know, depending on who you put him with and who you're trading to, but. No, I don't think he's worth that for you.
All we have is a lot of draft picks. That is all Leon Rose and Jalen Brunson.
And look, you can knock it and you know, you could call it what Blanderson calls it, which is just air, and it has no value until you do something with it. But that's not true. It is valuable. You know, I don't buy the argument that it's just air, that it's nothing. I mean, I see your point, but there is value there. And again, we're waiting for it, but when a big trade comes along, those are things that have a lot of value to them.
But that big trade is not coming along. Haven't we learned that at this point? How many times are we going to sit here and wait for the big trade or the big free agent? It's not happening.
It never happens.
No, it never does. It never does. Never does.
When it does, we can all be proven wrong by Leon.
Yeah, but I mean, by not collecting them and not putting yourself at least in the game to compete for a trade like that, that's like a player not lacing up his shoes to play. It's like, I know I'm going to lose anyway. We're a losing team. I'm just going to sit out. I'm not going to play. I'm going to forfeit. It's like the same thing. You still got to be ready for when the time comes. You know, the underdog always has his day. You know, there's always going to be a new corner. At some point, something's going to change. You got to be ready for that. You still have to manage your organization like a competent organization and put that organization in the best place to succeed. Again, Leon Rose took this job to try to turn the franchise around. He doesn't come with all the baggage that this franchise comes with.
A little bit.
He's trying to change it.
Little baggage.
And again, he hasn't done anything with it yet. I can't stick up for the guy that much. Like we just said, he's been here 3 years. We can't stick up for him that much. But, you know, hopefully
reportedly,
his day
one of the
come.
Reasons we couldn't get Donovan Mitchell from Ainge was because Ainge hates Leon Rose. I mean, come on, let's look back at Donovan Mitchell. We had all the draft picks we should need. I mean, we were acquiring draft picks for that one, for this one moment in time. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get it done. Leon couldn't get it done. That's devastating. Couldn't get it done for the guy who wanted to be here. The guy from New York. The guy who spent his whole summer here. And we had all the draft picks we needed. And all the fucking not bust players on this roster. Trade. And we couldn't get it done. When's the next time going to happen? And when that doesn't happen, we're just going to sit in mediocrity until we can somehow trade for a superstar?
Wouldn't you kill for mediocrity? Are we even at that? Are we even at that?
Well, I think that's what they're going for this season.
No, we're not.
And it's not out of the question.
No, we're going to be eight games under 500 2 years in a row is not mediocrity.
No,
that's a lottery.
Not.
Well, let the season end. It's 20 games into the season, Craig. How many times you watch a game, and I know you're joking all the time and you say it, but a guy has like, 8 points in 4 minutes. And you're like, oh, this guy's on pace to score 72 points this game. you know, it doesn't work like that. And the wins and losses aren't going to roll out like that either. It's not going to necessarily be the same exact win percentage.
That would be 96 points.
Especially if they do kick it into high gear that, you know, last quarter of the season and they have a little push, they can get to 500. That's not impossible for this team.
Thibodeau
it may
had,
be unlikely.
Thibodeau had basically the Knicks under Tom Thibodeau and Leon basically had like one good month in the past 3 years. Okay? One good month where we won like 15 games in a row. And it set that season ablaze, sent us into the playoffs with a top seed. I'm actually curious, maybe one day Landy will do his math, tell us what the record is outside of those, that 1 month. Because think about it. We have had like one good month.
What month are we talking about?
In the 2021 season.
Right, I know, but what month was that?
It was like it was towards the end of the season, February, March, right, Barry? It was the greatest like 3 to 4 week stretch I've ever had as a Knicks
fan. Right after they signed Derrick Rose. Right after they signed Derrick Rose.
You mean traded for him?
Traded for Derrick Rose, yeah.
And when you think about us being 37-45 last year, this year being a couple games under, and the streak we had to go on to get that seed that year, I mean, outside of that.
Oh, that's April.
It's been terrible.
It looks like it was April of 2021.
What was our record that April?
In April?
I mean, it's really just about the stretch of wins.
Well, it was the 9 in a row, and there was 9 in a row and 12 of 13.
Right.
So 12 of 13 there. So if you take that out, that 12 and 1, then the record's pretty shitty.
What was the record that year outside of that stretch?
Outside of that record, if it's 12, so we were 29-30. Then another 8 games under 500 last year, so that's 9 games under, and then we're 2 games under. So that if you take out those 13 games, we're 11 games under 500 under Tibbs. Hmm. And 12-1, that means we should be exactly, then we should be 500 with him then, right? Wouldn't that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah, because we were 37-45 under 2 this year, and we were over 10 that year. So we're exactly 500 with him. Exactly.
It's a hard Knicks life. Blandy, that's all for the voicemails, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. You all hear that music. It is time for the news with Blandish and Hooper. Is there news today?
Yeah, there's some news. Yeah, I got some stuff here.
Do you have
salacious?
Salaciousness? Well, I'll wait and see.
I do have some, yeah, actually. One thing that's salacious, yeah. But what'd you say, Barry?
I was going to ask you if you had something in your news tonight, but I'll wait and listen.
Okay. And yeah, wait and see what I say. All right. So we start off in Atlanta, which Atlanta will be here. Wait, are we playing in Atlanta or are they playing here?
They're playing here, MSG.
Okay. So talk out of Atlanta is that the relationship between Nate McMillan and Trae Young is not so great. Apparently they had an exchange at their shoot-around on Friday that led to Young not showing up to attend the team's home win over Denver that night. The initial explanation was that he had shoulder soreness and that there was a little bit of miscommunication. It turns out that's not necessarily the case. Nate McMillan asked him if he would rather participate in the shoot-around, receive treatment during the walkthrough, and then play in the game. And Young made it clear that he just wanted to focus on having his shoulder taken care of, not attending the shoot-around, and then deciding later whether or not to play in the game. And McMillan basically said either play off the bench or don't even show up to the arena, and he didn't show up. Apparently, though, it's not the first time that they've had a run-in this year. Their sources are saying there have been multiple team meetings this year just about stuff going on around the team.
Wow.
He was in the lineup tonight, though. But so now Nate McMillan's saying it was just a miscommunication. Nike announced today that they fully have parted ways with Brooklyn Nets point guard Kyrie. Kyrie Irving putting out a statement saying Kyrie is no longer a Nike athlete. So that is, you know, they basically last month they said they were not putting out his Kyrie 8s. And now it is official. He is no longer a part of the Nike family.
You know when there's like a recall on a product and you have to like send the product back to the company or, you know, something like that? You can't do that. They can't do that with their sneakers. Like anybody that has Kyrie sneakers, you have to send them back.
I don't know, but he tweeted something out, something today after the news came down. Where is it? Everything that he sends out is just so fucking, it's just so fucking weird. Where is this tweet? Anyone who has ever spent their hard-earned money on anything I have ever released, I consider you all caps family, and we are forever connected. It's time to show how powerful we are as a community. It's like, dude, fuck off.
So what does he want them to do?
I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
Not buy Nike?
I mean, give me a fucking break, dude. Get over it. But here's the salacious thing. In the middle of all of his anti-Semitic stuff last week, when he appeared on Alex Jones and then on Twitter, right before he got suspended from Twitter, about a week or so after being reinstated on Twitter, Kanye tweeted this out. Let's break one last window before we get out of here.
What does Kanye have to do with the NBA?
It's coming right here. What he tweeted.
Are you ready? Let's break one last window before we get out of here. I caught this guy with Kim. Good night. And it's a picture of Chris Paul. Chris Paul, who has been married for the past 11 years and has two children with, I believe, his high school sweetheart. So, yes, Kanye, out of nowhere, just decided to claim that Chris Paul had an affair with Kim Kardashian while they were married. Sources close to the situation say it's completely false and it's just trying to him deflect away from all this crazy Hitler was a good guy shit last week. It's not the first time he's accused her of having an affair with other people. Meek Mill was one. Drake was another. Chris Paul, to his credit, has not said anything. He has refused to comment. He's not putting out a comment. I guess he just thinks it's beneath him to do that. But yeah, so Chris Paul, according to Kanye, nailed his wife.
It's interesting because I didn't hear that story. I did see a tweet that someone put out, and I was very confused, and I had to Google it.
Was it the Devin Booker and
no,
Chris Paul
it was
stuff?
The Walt Frazier and Kim Kardashian stuff.
Oh, I didn't see
some
that.
Knick fan tweeted out this guy. Yeah, he walked in on this guy with Kim Kardashian, and it was a picture of Clyde.
Well, then so that's where it came from.
Yeah,
there was a whole bunch of like Devin Booker and Chris Paul memes. You know, like because he was dating Kendall Jenner. So who knows? But that's the way the basketball announces. Oh, Chris Middleton is back, by the way, for the Bucks too.
Oh yeah,
who have been kept really afloat without him, that. But he came back on Friday last week.
Great to have Chris Middleton back in the game. Barry, was that what you wanted in the news? That salacious detail?
Chris Middleton. Really curious if he made it back or not. I knew it was any game.
That I just threw in at the end after the basketball had already bounced.
No, it's actually his leading story, Craig. I wanted to make sure he was going to talk about the Trae Young, Nate McMillan story.
It's a great piece of the news, especially because we're about to play them. Well done.
Right.
It's too bad you did no research on what you're supposed to do research on.
Oh, Wally?
Yeah.
I did look into it. I actually did research on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter.
Heavy research.
I went through
there.
All of social media. I scrubbed all through the internet. I cannot find anything about it. I know the best I could do was a couple of tweets from like as recently as a week ago with people saying, how did I not know, you know, people saying, how did I not know that Rebecca Harlow and Wally
I don't know how they didn't know that.
That Wally is smashing Rebecca Harlow, but there doesn't seem to be any. I even tried looking at Wally's ex-wife's Instagram and TikTok and stuff to see if I could find anything out, but some of those things are blocked, some of them there's not much on. There doesn't seem to be anything online about them being together.
I was ready to line up the interview with my source for Blanderson.
I mean, there's no pictures of them out on the
but
town.
But he didn't
there's
take
nothing.
Me up on the offer, Chris.
It's almost like the internet was scrubbed clean of it.
That's not even the least bit true.
You never confirmed. You were asking some pre-interview questions to me,
Barry,
about it.
You said you were going to find out if this person was willing to talk to me.
And but I don't want to find out unless you're willing to actually conduct
the
interview.
Why would I ask you to find out if they're willing to talk to me?
Why wouldn't Blandy want to interview them?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense, Barry.
But because I also think if that's the only piece of the story that he has, this one particular eyewitness, I feel like he needs more to build a story, doesn't he?
I feel like if we talk to this person, we could strike lightning in a bottle.
No, he doesn't need... That's more than most Knicks beat writers go on right there.
What are we, 60 minutes?
All right.
That we have to run this through multiple sources before we get on the air?
All right. We'll run it. We'll run with it.
If Stefan Bondi had that source, it would be front page. That's whatever paper he works for, used to work for. Does he work for a paper? Daily News?
Daily News, I think,
yeah.
All right, that's going to do for today's show. Remember, you can reach out to us. It's hardnickslife@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @hardnickslife, Barry @BarryDworkin, and Blandy @BlandyHooper. We already gave you the number, so I don't think we need to do that at the top and back end of the show. They got
no. That's right.
By the way, I went on that trip this week. I almost lost one of these AirPods on the plane.
I've dropped an AirPod on the plane before.
Have you? Did you find
it? It rolled, but I had the help of my fellow passengers fucking find the AirPod for me.
I was on a red eye in complete black darkness, like in the plane. And right. I wake up from, I passed out watching some show on my iPad. Wake up, I had a hoodie on, and I go and like touch my ear and it's gone. One of them. I'm checking my hoodie, I'm crawling on the ground, I'm using my flashlight. Everyone else is trying to sleep around me.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out where it was. Once we landed, the stewardess told me to rip off my seat like it's Velcroed down, to rip it out.
And 20 AirPods were fucking under there.
Yeah, so I have a whole slew of them now.
For you.
Honestly, I took it and I was
Is that where it was?
This might not even be mine, you know?
This is a common thing.
She told me it happens. It falls in this like little hole in the corner.
Right.
Which is just crazy. Of all the places it can fall, it fell in there. Found it. So
a little hole.
He's here with me tonight.
Nice.
Thankfully. Upcoming schedule, Blandy.
All right. We've got Wednesday versus Atlanta, and then Friday at Charlotte. That's it for the rest of the week. Atlanta and Charlotte.
0-2 on that little stretch for me.
Really? You think Charlotte, we can win that game.
We can.
Why not?
Sure.
I don't know if we will, but we can.
Ooh, Tankathon standings, guys. We are sitting in the ninth spot in the lottery.
Okay.
We don't have Washington's pick anymore because they're not playing well. They're in the 11th spot, so we won't get theirs. And we get Dallas's, who's also in the 11th spot. Four-way tie for 11. Two lottery picks, guys. Would you end it right now with that? You can end the season today. Number 9 and number 11 pick.
It's pretty good.
I would.
We figure, we could turn that into the number 23, 27, and 32 next year? I mean, two years from now?
I know we do this joke all the time, but I guess we could just go into it. We would turn around the 9 and 11 for like the 14, right? Then turn the 14 for maybe like 18.
And then the next thing you know, we'll end up with some second round picks.
Torture. So maybe I wouldn't end it right now. All right, guys. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
It's a hard Knicks life.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute, and craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.